Boys and girls, welcome to the Experience Hockey Talk, Serious Hockey Talk for Serious Hockey Fans. Michael here with my co-host, Ethan Bloom.
Hi.
And obviously, we're talking Rangers, we're talking Caps, we're talking NHL. A little later on, we'll have Shaggy talking women's hockey as the Isabel Cup was awarded. But first, I must address something. If you have listened to the last episode at the very end, we were supposed to be 2 hours, but we only ended up being one. So what apparently happened, and I learned this, you know, later on in the week, is that apparently when we were recording, Zoom did an update. And because I had already converted the audio for the first segment that we had already recorded, the second segment, which was the hour-long trade deadline stuff, got corrupted because of the update by Zoom.
Thus the lost hour.
Thus the lost hour. So we do apologize. We're never going to be able to recover that hour, unfortunately. So it is what it is. I guess we're only meant to be an hour long show. I guess that's what it means. I don't know. But so
God is apparently giving us a message.
Yeah, the radio gods are telling us you're only allowed 1 hour a week, no more than an hour a week. So with that said, we're going to move on. And we're going to talk Rangers, we're going to talk Caps. And one thing that you may be noticing is that we are kind of tweaking a little bit how we do these segments, just simply because Ethan and I are still building that chemistry. Ethan's just kind of like, yeah, it's true.
I mean, it is true. We're still working this out. We're still trying it out. And
this is like episode four of us together, you know?
I think.
Yeah. So it's like, we're trying to build that chemistry. It takes time. That's why we're not gone like actual radio. It's why we're just here on, you know, the website.
Well, inevitably we might be doing radio talk, but that's for way down the line.
Yeah, that's like next season talk. But anyways, let's talk about the Rangers. You guys had four games this week or this past week, Ethan.
Why don't we talk about the Caps first?
We could talk about the Caps last because there's only one game and I don't have to worry about it too much.
I'm sure.
But starting off on March 27th, the Rangers would host the Buffalo Sabres. In the first period of trade deadline acquisition, Frank Vatrano would net a pair for the Rangers, but Rasmus Asplund would net a goal for the Sabres as the Rangers would take a 2-1 lead into the second period. Then in the second period, Will Butcher and Kyle Okposo would score for the Sabres, and Alexis Lafreniere would score for the Rangers for a 3-3 tie. Then in the third period, Artemi Panarin would score and Jeff Skinner would score for their teams respectively for a 4-4 tie. And then in overtime, it would be K'Andre Miller, 2 minutes into the extra frame, giving the Rangers the 5-4 victory over the Sabres. Ethan, your thoughts on that game?
It was a win, but it wasn't pretty. I mean, the Sabres are a team that we should not have been struggling against at all. And I got nervous because I was at the Rangers Devils game last week, and I witnessed a drubbing. It was a drubbing. There were some bright spots. Frank Vatrano scored two goals in less than 20 seconds. from there's less than 20 seconds between those two goals. It was absolutely fantastic. And Frank Vatrano just keeps on proving that his acquisition was, in fact, an extremely wise move. We didn't have to pay that much in order to get him. And Chris Drury seems to know what he's doing, especially with the acquisitions that we received. But this is becoming something of a pattern as of late. And I'm going to talk about this after we sort of recap the games. Where the Rangers are winning against teams that they really have to beat and losing and either struggling or even losing against teams that they should beat or that they should be able to beat. And now Keandre Miller, has been, this is not the first time he's, you know, pulled the bacon out of the frying pan, so to speak, or rather actually saved the bacon of the Rangers. He's done so on numerous occasions. He's young and he seems to be really proving himself under the stewardship of Jacob Trouba, who's been teaching him the ropes of how to be a real heavy defenseman on the other side of the blue line.
Right.
Just, you know, he's not like Adam Fox. He doesn't go for the goal as much, but he's physical. He's tough. And he's been a dynamic playmaker on the Rangers defense.
So moving on to your next game, March 29th.
Yeah.
You took on the Pittsburgh Penguins. In the first period, Brian Boyle would strike to give the Pens a 1-0 lead. Then in the second period, Vatrano and Braden Schneider would score for the Rangers to take a 2-1 lead. Then in the third period, you'd see dueling power play goals as Chris Kreider would net his 45th of the season and Sidney Crosby would net his 25th of the season as the Rangers would move on or hold on to defeat the Penguins 3-2.
It really is just a case of Jekyll and Hyde here. Against the Penguins, they looked really, really good. They were on, they were aggressive, very aggressive, both on both sides of the puck. And on both sides of the blue line, they were aggressive on defense. They were aggressive on offense. They actually caused Jari to injure himself and he had to be taken out of the game only to go back in after a goal or two. Kreider was great. Vatrano just continuously keeps on proving that he was, again, just what I said before from the Pittsburgh game about Vatrano, it just keeps on. It's just the same. He's incredibly fast. He was incredible in this game. Braden Schneider was interesting. He's not exactly, you know, a particularly like known quantity all that much on the Rangers. I mean, he's there. He's young. He's learning the ropes. Unfortunately, he's not exactly consistent. He was spot on this game. And you can tell that Gallant is still trying to work on what the Lions are trying to be, because especially with all the new trade acquisitions, Gallant's trying to really just still through trial and error, trying to piece together each line. And you could see it throughout how the performance has been so far this season.
Yep. Then the next night on March 30th, the Rangers would head over to Detroit to take on the Red Wings. In the first period, Ryan Reeves and Philip Chytil would score for the Rangers, but Michael Rasmussen and Jacob Vrana would score for the Red Wings for a 2-2 tie. Then in the second period, Tyler Bertuzzi and Artemi Panarin would trade goals for a 3-3 tie. And then in the third period, Adam Erne and Chris Kreider would both trade goals as well for a 4-4 tie. To which then in overtime, Andrew Kopp would score a minute 34 in overtime to give the Rangers the 5-4 victory over the Red Wings.
Continuously just proving that Drury knows exactly what he's doing. Andrew Kopp has been a godsend over the past few games. He's been winning on the face. He's been winning faceoffs. He's been a great addition to and has been like, through assists and goals, has been just a great addition to the Rangers as of since the trade deadline. This game was ugly, very ugly. And frankly, it was one of those games that we should have won. Yeah, Georgiev was in goal. And he just was not, it seems like what happened in Carolina was just a fluke. You know, the game that the Rangers definitely should have lost 2 weeks ago. However, I mean, the thing is, I mean, Heedle's been solid. He's has a few goals, but I mean, he's very physical. He's very tenacious. Nemeth that we actually got from the Red Wings has also been a very good acquisition over the offseason previously. The issue there was a lot of sloppiness. There was a lot of turnovers. The defense just did not hustle back to cover. And it just seems like the Rangers are more and more, they're getting sloppy. They're getting very sloppy, especially with the turnovers, especially with puck control. And they're just, I think they're over-relying on their goaltending too much.
And with that said, the Rangers would become fools on April Fool's Day as Semyon Varlamov would make 27 saves as the Islanders would shut out the Rangers, as in the first period, Casey Cizikas, who's a guy who should not be getting goals at all because the guy can't play, scored 2:40 into the first for a 1-0 Islander lead. Then in the second period, another guy who you should never be giving up a goal to because he ain't that good of a hockey player, Matt Martin, scored less than 5 minutes into the second period to give the Islanders the 2-goal lead. And then in the third period at 2:47 into the third, Matthew Barzal, who's having a very off year, would score to give the Islanders the 3-0 victory at Madison Square Garden as part of the Battle of New York. Ethan, thoughts?
I hated this game. I really hated this game. And I hate you for just with the smugness that you said that recap. There was so much smug. Oh, God, this game. It wasn't like the previous matchup where it was a really hard fought, bloody slog of a game. But this was just, first off, it was in fact Shesterkin in goal rather than Georgiev. So you can't blame goaltending. Again, it's just constant turnovers, they couldn't keep the handle on the puck, sloppiness, mental mistakes. Those goals should not have happened. Those goals definitely should not have happened. I don't know what the heck Nemeth was doing. He did a defensive maneuver, but just completely missed it and just allowed, I think it was the Martin goal, but I don't remember exactly what goal because I just stopped watching this game. It was just so bad. There was no aggressiveness at all. And Gallant, and I'm going to be using our PG-13, my limit on curse words for this one. Gallant literally said afterwards that this game was, and I quote, horseshit. It was horseshit. It was very much horseshit. Very scatological, I'm sorry to say. It was pathetic. It was absolutely, I know that the Islanders have been showing a lot of life as of late. Michael here has been just going off about, oh, these players should not be scoring and they've been off, but now they are healthy. And this is starting to become reminiscent of the team that was last year. But the issue, I know Matt Martin is garbage. Cizikas is garbage.
They're literal garbage players. They're garbage players, dude.
This is another issue. The defense on the Rangers seems to be geared towards it just seems to be way too over-reliant on goaltending. And yes, Shesterkin's the best goalie in the league right now. He doesn't have the amount of wins, but his save percentage is the best in the league.
But anyway, we're running short on time in the segment. For the Rangers this upcoming week, they take on the Flyers at home, the Devils on the road on Tuesday, the Penguins at home on Thursday, and against the Ottawa Senators at home on Saturday. And super quick, the Capitals took on the Carolina Hurricanes.
Yeah, I know why you want to make this super quick.
Yeah, we're literally on time. Caps just got shelled by Carolina. I didn't see the game. I was in class. But in the first period, Derek Stepan and Martin Nekas would score to give the Hurricanes the 2-0 lead. In the second period, Tom Wilson would score to get the Caps back within one. But Sebastian Aho, Brett Pesce, and Martin Nekas would all score to give the Hurricanes a 5-1 lead. And then Brady Shea would score in the third period to give the Hurricanes the 6-1 victory. Again, I didn't see the game, but, you know, the Caps crapped the bed, plain and simple. Coming up
for non-existent defense.
Yeah. Yeah, the entire the team defense did not exist. Then going into the upcoming week, on Sunday today, the Capitals take on the Minnesota Wild at home. Then on Wednesday, they take on the Tampa Bay Lightning at home. And then on Saturday, they are in Pittsburgh for a rivalry matchup with the Penguins. So
this is a rough week for you.
Yeah. So with that, we'll be back. We're going to be joined with Shaggy right now to talk some PHF. And ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, as always, TXHT is affiliated with Cool Hockey. Cool Hockey, who just recently did the run of the mystery boxes, which are always awesome to do. Sold out instantly, did a restock, sold out again. Click on the advert below this podcast to go over to coolhockey.com today. And obviously by clicking on the link and doing a purchase, we may earn a little bit from your purchase to help, and the funds go to helping TXHT grow. But Cool Hockey mystery boxes, always worth it every time they do it. And this time they actually, and Shaggy, who's my guest, hey Shaggy, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing good, how are you?
You don't sound good, you sound disappointed, but we'll get to that reason in a moment. Do you know what the cool thing about this latest run of the mystery boxes were?
What's the coolest thing about the latest run of this mystery box?
90% of them with the new prime green jerseys, and 50% of them were customized. So you had a 50-50 chance of getting a customized jersey.
Ooh, snap. That sounds great.
I know. Like, who wouldn't want that? So again, Cool Hockey, click the ad below, pick up some cool stuff. If they don't have mystery boxes available, you know, find the jersey that you do want and then order that instead. So with that, I've already introduced Shaggy. You know what that means. We're talking women's hockey. And so Shaggy, let's talk about this right here, right now. So the playoffs were Friday through Monday this past weekend. Ironically, when Ethan and I were recording the first segment leading into our segment with you, the Boston Pride had actually defeated the Buffalo Buttes as we were recording. The Boston Pride annihilated Buffalo 6-0 to kick off the Isabel Cup playoffs. And it would begin after a scoreless first period. The Pride's offense would actually come alive as Taylor Winchkowski, Kaylee Flanagan, and Jilly Dempsey would score to give the Pride the 3-0 lead. And then in the third period, Christina Putinia, Teresa Vanasova, and Mary Parker would score to give them the 6-0 victory and move on to the semifinals to take on the Toronto Six. Shaggy, your thoughts on this game?
Well, like we said last week, it was great to hear that to end the season, Buffalo beat Boston 2 times in a row. But if you know anything about women's hockey, it's really hard to beat a team 3 times in a row. And Boston really kind of showed who they were heading into the playoffs.
Yeah. Next up, and this was the game that took place after Ethan and I were actually done recording. We had the Minnesota Whitecaps taking on the Metropolitan Riveters. In the first period, Taylor Turnquist would actually strike to give the Whitecaps a 1-0 lead. Then in the second period, Kelly Babstock would score for the Rivs, but a pair of goals from Sydney Baldwin would give the Whitecaps a 3-1 lead. And then in the third period, Allie Thunstrom would strike to give the Whitecaps the 4-1 victory over the Riveters and move on to face the first place Connecticut Whale. Thoughts on this matchup here?
Well, you know, the rocky season for the Riveters ends. Playoff Lev was spectacular in this game, and she showed why she's as good as she is.
And it was really great to see Levalier bounce back in this game and get this victory. Like, I saw the video of her celebrating after, you know, picking up the win, and the way she celebrated, it felt like a weight was lifted off her shoulders.
Yeah, it's been a rocky year for her, but she definitely showed why she's still the best goalie in the PHF, in my opinion.
Yeah. So then moving on to Sunday, March 27th, you have the number 5 Whitecaps versus the number 1 Whale. And we would see these two teams play a scoreless first period, but then after that, Kennedy Marchment would open the scoring for the Whale to take the 1-0 lead. But Allie Thunstrom would strike for the Whitecaps, but Janine Weber would score for the Whale to retake the lead. But then Ashley Brickalick would score for the Whitecaps to tie the game again, but goals from Alyssa Wolfiler and Tori Halloran would give the Whale all they would need to play, as they would play a scoreless third period to take the 4-2 victory. So a little bit of back and forth until the Whale, you know, kind of got two in a row to take this one 4-2 to move on to their first ever Isabel Cup final. Your thoughts on this game?
A bit of a crazy second period, if I do say so myself. I will be honest in saying I did watch this whole game. I was nervous the whole time because Minnesota has given Connecticut trouble in the playoffs before, and you know, playoff Lev is playoff Lev. But the Whale did so many things right in crashing the crease and getting bodies in front and making it life really, really difficult for Lev to see the puck. So it was a really, really excellent played game by the Whale.
Yep. Which then brings us to our other semifinal matchup, as the Boston Pride would take on the second place Toronto Six. In this matchup, in the first period, the Pride would pounce on the Six as Christina Poutinia, Callie Flanagan, and Kaylee Friesen would score in a span of a little over 2 minutes to give the Pride a commanding 3-0 lead. However, with 34 seconds left in the first, Brianne Wilson-Bennett would score to get the Six on the board. In the second period, Evelina Rosselli would score to give the Pride their 3-goal lead back. Then in the third period, Taylor Winkowski would score to give the Pride their third power play goal of the game in the 5-1 victory over the Six to move on to the Isabel Cup final for the fourth time in franchise history and second straight season. Technically, however, it is the fifth time and third straight season, but due to 2020 being canceled, they never got to play in the Isabel Cup final as originally scheduled. Shaggy, your thoughts on this one?
Wow. What a surprising scoreline. This is not something I expected at all, just by the way the Toronto Six had played all year. But I think I remember saying last week that the most dangerous team outside of seeds 1 and 2 was the Boston Pride. And that's because they leaned on their veteran leadership, the ones that have been there and been through that situation. And sure enough, it led them to the victory and a ticket to the finals.
Yeah. Now, moving on to Monday night now. And obviously the question I throw out there is, why do you throw this game at 9 p.m. Eastern time? That's late, you know?
Great question.
I mean, that's my biggest gripe of this, of the final game. It's like, why was it at 9 p.m. on a Monday night?
Could have even done it at 8 at prime time.
Yeah, like, that's the one little gripe I have. But if that's the only gripe that you have, then that's not a bad thing.
Right.
So we have the first seed of Connecticut Whale hosting the 3-seed Boston Pride. And in the first period, Jillian Dempsey would strike in the opening 5 minutes of the game to give the Pride the 1-0 lead. But later in the period, Amanda Conway would strike to tie the game at 1 for the Whale. In the second period, Taylor Girard would score 33 seconds into the period to give the Whale a 2-1 lead. Both teams would swap power plays and also play some 4-on-4 in the second, but neither team would score on the opportunities. Then, I should note, I was actually in class when this game was happening, so I wasn't able to watch until the third period, which is when I tuned in, which then saw Evelina Rosselli and Taylor Winkowski score within 17 seconds apart of each other, and Jenna Rowe later on hitting the empty net to give the Pride the 4-2 victory over the Whale to collect their third Isabel Cup and become the first team in PHF and the WHL history to win back-to-back Isabel Cups. Shaggy, I'm sorry. I should have not watched.
Yeah, it's your fault.
I accept responsibility for the Whale's loss. I wasn't watching and they were winning, and then I turned it on and then they lost. That is totally on me. I accept that, good sir.
First off, let me just say huge congratulations to the Boston Pride. They played excellently in the third period. I thought there was a few nerves throughout the Whale team because they didn't exactly skate great at the beginning of the game, which led to the Dempsey goal. But as soon as Amanda Conway scored and things kind of settled down, the Whale started to kind of take over. They played really great the second period. They were 20 minutes away from hosting their first ever Isabel Cup title. And I will be honest in saying I was quite upset when Wencikowski put the game winning goal in the net. It was not a fun time being in my household.
I'm sorry, Shaggy.
It's all good.
I people can't see it, but I'm patting Shaggy on the head for Zoom. It's okay.
Unfortunately, them's the breaks. You know, as we were saying, veteran leadership and depth scoring are two huge things for the teams. And, you know, Boston's veteran leadership and their depth scoring led them to the promised land back to back.
Yep. So some quick notes. PHF announced forward Kennedy Marchment of the Connecticut Whale as the player of the month. Marchment played in 6 games for the Whale in the month of March, where she recorded 4 goals and 10 assists for 14 points. The playoff MVP was Taylor Wincikowski of the Boston Pride. She would be a force for the Pride as she would record 3 goals in 3 playoff games and have 2 of her goals, including the championship game, be game winners as the Pride won their 2nd consecutive Isabel Cup. And that's really it for the notes.
Wencikowski was really good. And if you want a bold prediction, and I don't think it's too bold to say, I think Kennedy Marchment will win MVP this offseason.
Yeah. So, and now we know moving forward, you know, we have the awards coming up. We have the draft coming up. We know Montreal is coming into the league and we're waiting to hear on who the 8th team will be as well. So we're waiting on confirmation on that. And then our friend Dan Rice, who writes for the league, has put out on Twitter that a new PHF PA director has been named. We're just waiting for the official announcement on that. And the search for a new commissioner, as Tyler Tamenia is stepping down now that the season is over. So it's we're going to get a new commissioner. A lot of big things happening for the PHF.
Yeah, it's very good for them to secure a head of the Players Association. That's a huge thing that they can cross off their list for the offseason. Definitely getting a new commissioner would be great. And somebody who's going to be there longer than a season would be fantastic. Don't know too many names that are out there. I actually half jokingly thought Shannon Turner could be the head of the Players Association, but I think they picked a much better candidate, and we'll just wait to hear the official word on that. And we'll wait to see who steps forward to be the commish.
And in a way, I just want to say this, like Anya Packer, you know, formerly Anya Bartolino, when she was the director of the then NWHLPA, now PHFPA, I felt that she was really in her element doing that. I really do. So when she moved over to become a general manager, I kind of scratched my head going like, well, did they at least get somebody to fill her spot? Which they didn't. And then you get somebody and then she's gone within a month.
Yeah.
Which was very interesting.
That was definitely crazy times. You and I have said Anya Packer is a very brilliant player and a very brilliant front office person. Yes, she was in her element as head of the Players Association, but I think she's doing a good job as GM of the Riveters, and I can't wait to see how her team gets constructed for next season.
Yeah, like first season, I would definitely say was rough for Anya. Just simply because, like, apparently there were mistakes made. The team got fined as a result of a mistake that she had made, I believe, in free agency. You know, the team didn't really perform as strong as you would think with what she put on paper. You know, I mean, in a way, some of it falls on Ivo Mosic as well, because I believe he's, as well as the head coach, he's also the director of player personnel. So like a little bit falls on him on that, because obviously him and Anya, you know, coordinate together on who they want to bring in and stuff like that. But, you know, they have another off season, the two of them, to work together and, you know, really fine tune those things that didn't work out for them this past season. So
I think Anya hinted on Twitter that there could be some players she's interested in bringing in for next season. So fingers crossed, we'll see how that goes. And I'm kind of excited.
Yep.
I'm not excited for a good Riveters team, but I'm excited to see how she does it.
Yep. So with that, Shaggy, where can the people find you on social media?
You can always find me on Twitter at Shaggy, S-H-A-G-G-Y, 901516. I am always happy to chat sports. Like today was the World Cup draw, and U.S. will play England, Iran, and the winner of Wales, Scotland, or Ukraine. So you're always welcome to hit me up and talk any kind of sports.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Shaggy. We'll talk to you next season, maybe we'll bring you in when the draft thing happens. I don't know. We'll see what happens.
We'll see what happens.
And ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to more TXHT with Ethan and I. We thank Shaggy. And of course, we are an affiliate with Cool Hockey. Go to coolhockey.com via our link down below the audio that you see here. And every purchase that you make, we may actually make some proceeds from it. It helps us continue to grow TXHT. And of course, you just want to get Cool Hockey because the quality of the jerseys are amazing. I actually just pulled out recently. They just did mystery boxes, and I actually found one of my old mystery boxes from a few years ago where it was a Washington Capitals home Adidas Authentic Evgeny Kuznetsov jersey with the NHL 100 patch on it. All hand sewn, amazing quality. Recommend it. Click the link below to go to Cool Hockey today. So Ethan, we got a few things to talk about. I know we'll circle back to Rangers Caps in a little bit, but obviously there's a few bigger things that need to be talked about first. The first one that I want to touch base on is Keith Yandle. His Iron Man streak has ended at 989 games. Because the Flyers have decided that they're just not going to play him. Obviously, last season there was conversation of whether Joel Quenneville was going to start scratching Yandle, but because of the whole Iron Man streak, people wanted to see that happen. And now that that has happened, and another active NHL player has passed that 965 mark in Phil Kessel. It's to some people, it's a big deal. For others, let's just be honest, Keith Yandle's a really bad defenseman.
And this isn't only going to be the only time we're ringing on Phil Kessel tonight too, by the way.
Yeah. So like Keith Yandle, he falls short 11 games of going to play 1,000 straight games. He would have been the first to do that if he had not been scratched this game.
I mean, Yandle wasn't that special, to be honest with you. I mean, I remember him when he played with the Rangers. He was not special at all.
Especially now, he's like a massive liability. No, like defensively, do you know what he is right now in plus minus as a defense? Obviously he's a defensive. Do you know what his plus minus is with the Flyers right now?
What is it?
Negative 39.
Not surprised. Wasn't anything special, honestly. Keith Yandle's
let's be honest. When he started off with Arizona and when he was with the Rangers,
he was solid. He was solid, though.
He was known more for the offense than he was for the defense. And now that the offense has become very suspect from him, he's a liability, no matter how you look at it. Trust me, I know, because I have to hear my dad scream at the TV every time Yandle goes on the ice. So there is that.
Yeah, your house is very weird, dude.
I know. But one of the funniest things, and I like this, so longest active Iron Man streaks via the NHL now that Yandle's streak has ended at 989 is Phil Kessel at 968 games and counting. Patrick Marleau at 910 games, because he technically has not officially retired yet, so he is considered active, quotes. And then Brent Burns at 664.
That's a big gap there. That's a really big gap.
But I could see, because it's Brent Burns and the type of character that he is, he can get the 666 games and then stop it right there.
Yeah, probably.
Because that is the type of person Brent Burns probably is. And I'm not saying that to be mean or anything. I'm just saying it because Brent Burns is one interesting character. So,
like, how, in what way is he interesting?
Just like his personality and stuff like that. Like, he has a very interesting personality.
Like Ilya Bryzgalov?
Interesting? No. He's a lot more tamer compared to Ilya Bryzgalov. I mean, he isn't talking about bears per se,
or the universe,
or the universe per se. But yeah.
You watched that 30 for 30?
Yeah, I didn't watch the 30 for 30. They did a 30 for 30 on Bryzgalov.
I think it was just the Flyers, but I think Bryzgalov was. Oh my god, when they.
I know what you're talking about. You're talking about the Road to the Winter Classic.
No, sorry, it was the Road to the Winter Classic.
Yeah, it was something
ESPN did. But oh my god, was it?
Yeah, ESPN beautiful. Had nothing to do with that. That was HBO.
No, I think was it Road to the Winter Classic? Or was I think it was also I think it was 30 for 30 about the Flyers or something like that after they won the cup
in 75. The Flyers won the last Stanley Cup for the Flyers was 1975.
Well, no, when they went to the Stanley Cup, sorry.
But that against was in that Chicago? Was in 2010 against Chicago, and Bryzgalov was not their goalie. Bryzgalov wasn't even on the team.
Really?
Yeah.
Golov came getting a mess up.
No, because Bryzgalov.
No. Didn't the Flyers play Chicago for a cup at one point?
Yeah, that was 2010, and Bryzgalov was not on the team.
No. Oh. Okay.
Because the goalie for the
Flyers. Getting mixed up.
Because the goalie for the Flyers was, I believe, Michael Layden. Because because of all the injuries to the Flyer goalies and ironically to the Chicago goalies, because it was literally the worst goaltending duel in Stanley Cup history.
Right. That was the one time that Ray Emery got to raise the cup.
Yeah, because he was the backup to Antti Niemi.
Right. I forgot what it was. I keep on thinking it was either like a 30 for 30 or
I know what you're talking about. It was the road to the Winter Classic, God. Which was on HBO because it was leading.
Right, up, it was HBO
because it was leading up to, I believe, the Flyer Rangers game or something like that.
Oh my god!
Because it was played in, if I remember right, it was played at Citizens Bank, I believe.
It was, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my god, Ilya Bryzgalov.
Yeah. So I know what you're thinking. But anyways, some other things. Arizona Coyotes forward, or I can't remember, or defenseman, Nick Ritchie, is having a hearing for slashing Anaheim's Kevin Shattenkirk, which also in that game, and it's really confusing knowing that Ritchie's getting a hearing for slashing Kevin Shattenkirk, but Jay Beagle's not getting one for his cross check on Trevor Zegras and then pummeling Troy Terry.
Yeah, that was, I actually tried to see whether or not I can get a better, because you shared that with me.
Yeah.
I wanted to see whether or not I can get a better, you know, view of it. One of the things that you have to keep in mind is that anytime somebody's trying to score a goal and the goalie either covers the puck or the goalie, you know, has the puck under them or something like that, and you poke the goalie with your stick
after
you
the whistle. Touch him
after the, I don't know if it was after the whistle. It was right before the whistle, like right before the whistle. But I think, because I think the goalie was on his back. And I'm not entirely sure that the puck was in fact not, was, I don't think the puck was dead yet. I think it was still in play, but I mean, he poked him and then Beagle shoved him. Now you have to keep in mind this. First, the Coyotes were down 5-0. That automatically causes humongous frustration on the part of the losing team. So yeah, dear Jeff, you don't want to, you know, see something like that. Don't suck. Second, the fact of the matter is that when you poke the goalie, it's technically like you don't touch a goalie ever. And so when that happens, usually what happens is that somebody cross checks you. Somebody's going to hit you. Somebody's going to hit you in the back.
Or somebody's going to, not necessarily they're going to hit you, but they're
going to either grab you, or they're going to push you, or they're going to get very aggressive with you. And normally what happens is what happens is the person who does it backs off.
Yeah.
Jeff Beagle didn't give him the chance to do so.
It's Jay Beagle.
He went after him.
It's Jay Beagle, but
Jay Beagle. Sorry.
Remember that is 2018 Stanley Cup champion Jay Beagle, good sir. But anyways,
yeah, but he's on the Coyotes.
Yeah, I know. But the thing is that like I could also see where there's frustration, because like earlier in the game, Trevor Zegras did the Michigan around a teammate to score one of the goals.
That was a lacrosse goal. That was beautiful.
I know, but it's called the Michigan because a guy in Michigan was the first one to do it in ice hockey. But but yeah, so Zegras did the Michigan around Sony Milano, his own teammate, to score. And you could see Milano just like tighten himself up to let Zegras do the Michigan around him.
Oh, it was beautiful.
But like, so I could see like, you know, and like this one announcer on the broadcast, they're quoted as saying, that's the problem with these young players. You want to embarrass guys. You want to skill it up. You better be prepared to get punched in the mouth. Except the problem is that's not what was going on in this segment right here.
No.
You know, because Zegras poked at the goalie. Don't touch the goalie. You expect to get hit or at least grabbed. Yeah. And you pretty much told to back off. But what really I could see coming out of this is that Jay Beagle was just incensed.
Oh yeah, big time.
Because the next thing he did is after he knocked down Zegras, was he just went looking for somebody to fight, and I can say this watching Jay Beagle for all the years that he was with the Caps is very uncharacteristic of him. Like, will he drop the gloves when he needs to? Yes, but that was very uncharacteristic of him. And for him to literally beat Troy Terry bloody, I'm actually generally surprised that Beagle's not the one having a hearing with the Department of Player Safety, because that should be something that goes to the Department of Player Safety.
Here's the thing. First off, again, I'm going to make this point again. He's on the Coyotes. The Coyotes suck.
Yeah, Nick Ritchie's on the Coyotes, and he has a hearing for slashing. It doesn't matter
I know. He should be. There should be a hearing on regards to Jay Beagle. Honestly, I don't know why they're not doing so. And he was thrown out for game. He was thrown out from his conduct after that as well. But here's the thing: the announcer was referring to the Zegras goal, the Michigan reach around.
The Michigan,
because reach around has a whole other connotation. I'm not going to go into it because this is a PG-13 podcast. To be honest with you, I mean, the fact of the matter is that he was referring, the commentator was referring to that goal, and which is weird, which, because is that was the third goal,
which, and is,
it was
5-0. I mean, it's fine,
the third goal, it's kind of late. It's,
yeah, like, hold on. Let me take a look at something real quick. I just want to see something. Give me one sec while I look something up, because, like, while that's all fine and dandy that you want to go on about that, the thing is that scores, as I hop onto the NHL site, Friday, April 1st.
But I did when
the
I
Zegras I goal. The Zegras goal.
It's the third goal.
Was in the first period.
Yeah.
Was at the midway point of the first period.
Mm-hmm.
This brouhaha
was in the third period.
Happened late in the third period. So yeah. What? So the goal at that point is irrelevant.
Oh yeah, yeah. It was irrelevant. I think that's what the commentator was talking about, the embarrassing one. But the showing off of the skill was referring to the Zegras goal back in the middle of the third period, which is fine and dandy.
But at the same time, that's not why this brouhaha happened. So the commentator is in the wrong.
The commentator sounds like an old timey baseball fan. That's like, I remember when our players were tougher. They're ruining the game with their fanciness. I mean, like,
I'm not gonna lie.
Baseball
fans. So, like, I know, Like, I know when Zegras did the flip up and Sony Milano, you know, batted the puck out of midair into the net and everyone was going nuts about that earlier this season. I remember John Tortorella, you know, he was conflicted because he was like, yeah, that's really cool. You know, I actually like it. But at the same time,
it's kind of showy.
But yeah, but then that was what he was kind of getting at. It's a little showy. It's a big risk. What happens if you failed on it and they turned it around and scored the other direction? You know, so like.
But that's a what if it failed though?
Yeah, I know. But you could see it from the coach's perspective, which is why I've always liked John Tortorella as a coach, because he's very honest. Mm-hmm. And that and everyone crapped all over Tortorella saying like, oh, you're a dinosaur, blah, blah, blah. It's like, I disagree. You know, I see the point of what he's trying to say. So I'm not going to crap on John Tortorella because of it, because he brings up a valid point, you know, as a coach. And you see that. What's going on in your mind as the coach, you know, and stuff like that. You have to, it's not just what happens on the ice. It's also what's going on the bench. What's the thinking, what's being talked about in the locker room and stuff like that. Yes, that stuff is exciting, but you know, with risk comes reward, but also with risk comes penalty.
Well, I mean, the thing is that Tortorella was talking about the risk of the maneuver was that it was a very highly risky maneuver and that made him uncomfortable. No, this commentator was saying that that Zegras did it to show off and to show off his skill. And he was doing it to embarrass the Coyotes. That's very different from what Tortorella
was. Oh, I know.
That's just stupid.
I know. And like, you know, in a way we are talking about apples and oranges, but I'm trying to take it to a calmer tone with talking about how, you know, Tortorella viewed it from an analyst role, you know, a few months ago. But of course, also Tortorella had more time to digest what had taken happen. Whereas this commentator is, you know, more heat of the moment and stuff like that. So it's like, it is kind of what it is with that, but moving on, the Calgary Flames, who are first place in their division, announced today on Saturday that Sean Monahan is done for the season as he is having hip surgery.
Yeesh.
So, and it should be noted that while his role had changed from a top line center to a fourth liner this season, Monahan is beloved by his teammates and coaches, who is constantly lauded for his attitude and approach to the game. So, big blow to Calgary losing Sean Monahan. Originally, people thought that he might have been in trouble because he kept getting healthy scratched, but now, as you found out, he's hurt, and that's why he hasn't been playing.
So and they probably only healthy scratched him because they wanted to see whether or not he actually was hurt.
I wouldn't say to see if he was hurt. I would say more along the lines of, you know, maybe hoping that, you know, the hip will heal up and that he can play.
Right.
You know, it's more, I would see it more along those lines than others. So
it's kind of a shame because that team is on fire.
Yeah. Literally. speaking of on fire, talking about comebacks by the Panthers. But, you know, as we're recording this, the Panthers are down 6-2 to New Jersey.
Oh, my God.
Scored four goals in the third period and then won it in overtime.
I'm not going to lie to you. That makes me feel better about losing to the Devils last week. If the best team in the NHL loses to the Devils, you know what? I'm fine with that.
Yeah. So with that, I know you had wanted to talk about, you know, you had mentioned in the first segment about, like, you know, losing the teams you should be beating, you know, beating teams, you know, you should be beating and stuff like that, or beating the teams you probably should be losing to. I think that's how they say it, you know, because you're hinting at that with the Rangers, and we got about 10 minutes left in the show. So I wanted to take some time to talk about that real quick.
Oh, sure.
Because you're asking me, and I kind of went back and I looked at the Capitals schedule, and I looked at, you know, who they played just in the month of March. And one thing that plays a factor is, like, you know, we probably should have lost to Edmonton in overtime. We probably should have beat them, but that came down to goaltending.
Yeah.
Not just on their end, but on our end too, because I believe Samsonov was the goalie in net for that game. And then, like, we beat Vancouver in overtime, but also at the same time, you're at the end of a 3-game in 4 days road trip in Western Canada. So you're probably running out a little bit of gas there. So it's like, you kind of look at things, you have to look at like goaltending, because that does matter.
Yes.
Or the type of schedule that you're playing in. And not only that, but like, don't sleep on teams, because like, everyone's beating the living daylights out of Seattle now, but they're a team you still shouldn't sleep on. Like, you shouldn't sleep on the Senators. You shouldn't sleep on, you know, the Devils. Because the biggest thing, here's the thing, if the Devils actually had goaltending, they'd probably be in the playoff picture right now.
Probably. I mean, honestly, I think it's almost a mystery as to what's going on with the Rangers. I mean, is it, it's their sloppiness. Is it they're being too cocky? Is there being over-reliant on Shesterkin? Because they shouldn't be, because they know for a fact that with what how goaltending runs these days, it's not always Shesterkin going to be in goal. There's also Georgiev, and Georgiev isn't nearly as good. I mean, what is going on? It's complete. I mean, right now, because of the trade, and because this is, it's been so soon after the trade deadline, I know that Gallant is trying to work out the lines. He's trying to figure out who works best in what line, and it's still sort of trial and error right now.
As of right now, in my opinion, you keep Ryan Reeves out of the lineup.
I'm not so sure about that.
I know he scored in the game recently, but like, I keep Ryan Reeves out because Vetrano, Kopp, and who is the other guy that you guys?
Braun.
And no, Braun's a defenseman.
Oh, Braun, yeah.
Now you picked up Mott, a third
floor. Mott. Tyler Mott.
Yeah, Tyler Mott. Those three guys right there, that could be a much more dangerous fourth line than anything that you currently have.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you don't need Ryan Reeves in the lineup when those three are in the lineup, when any of those three are in the lineup.
True.
So it's like, and that's kind of my point. It's like, you like, and unfortunately, this was part of the lost hour from last week, because I was telling you, it's like, the pickup of Vetrano, the pickup of Mott, and the pickup of Kopp, you know, that gave you more legitimacy in your bottom six.
Plus, we didn't give up that much.
Compared to what you already had in your bottom six, particularly your fourth line.
And third line, too.
You know, well, more so, I'm looking more at your
fourth. Or so the fourth, line. Yeah.
Yeah. Those three guys brought more legitimacy to the Rangers' bottom six to help complement your top six.
I mean, at this point, I mean, there's, especially because there's at least, I can name two or three players in the bottom six right now that are probably top six, almost top six talent. I mean, for example, you have Frank Vetrano, who seems to just be, he's an insane skater. I mean, and just extremely, as I said before, extremely tenacious. Kopp has been just a steady rock throughout this. Mott is, and actually the other one is Goodrow. Goodrow has just been all around great player. And he, but I mean, in the Islanders game, I was very, very concerned with Schneider in particular. That's why I said something about Schneider before. Schneider, that last goal was pretty much because of him. He gave it up. And I mean, I know they're trying to work out, you could tell they're still trying to work out what line works best and where, who works best on what line, especially with trying to, but I mean, at this point, you've got to figure it out. You've got to figure it out before, because this is the last, this, you're getting into the last month before the playoffs. You have to figure it out now, Glenn. You have to figure it out.
It's crunch time, baby.
It is crunch time. And I hope they figure it out soon, because I really don't want to lose against the Senators. It feels like you're sleeping on teams you should not be sleeping on. And I mean, are they being too cocky? Are they being too over-reliant on Shesterkin? Are they, what is wrong? You can't tell exactly. I mean, like, I was sort of speculating way back when they lost against the Wild, and then they lost against the Blues, and or they, that awful, god awful game against Carolina Hurricanes. But I mean, which they should have lost, but they'd won. And then we lost against the Devils at home. And I mean, I didn't think that you should sleep on the Devils at all. I don't know what it is. Is it, Is it mental fatigue? Is it just sloppiness? Is it they're being cocky?
I think what you're seeing now with a lot of teams, and like this ain't like the NBA where they can just rest, they can just scratch the sit players for games.
Yeah, it's there's no load management. Yeah,
there's no low balling in hockey.
Yeah.
Thankfully. But like you're already having a condensed schedule because they're originally going to try to do the Olympics, which thank God they didn't do the Olympics.
Yeah.
Because the NHL should never be shutting down for the Olympics ever. Ever.
You should just let college kids play in the Olympics.
That's how it should be.
In 80.
That's how it should be. You can even send AHL guys that aren't on two-way deals and stuff like that. I'm perfectly fine with that. But the one thing that I was thinking was like, well, because of those already condensed schedule, because they were supposed to do that, which thankfully they didn't, they used that to make up for like the 160 games that got postponed. So what was already a condensed schedule between essentially March to the end of April became a condensed schedule from January to the end of April. So it went from just 2 months of condensed schedule to 4 months of condensed schedule with all the rescheduling of postponed games and stuff like that, and games being moved around. Because like the one, what was it? Originally the Capitals game. So like the Caps regular season finale is at the Rangers on April 29th.
Right.
The night before, the Capitals were actually supposed to be at home to play the New York Islanders. That game got changed, and now the Capitals are going to Long Island. And now their home finale is on the 26th against Columbus, who they were not supposed to be playing that day, I believe. I mean, I got to take a look at the schedule real quick. Let me pull it. Here's the original schedule. Yeah. So the original, no. Correction. The original schedule for the last week of the season for the Capitals, Sunday, April 24th, at home against Toronto. Tuesday, the 26th, at home against the Islanders. Thursday, the 28th, at home against Columbus. Friday, the 29th, at the Rangers. Now the schedule is the 24th. And actually, let me just confirm this, make sure I'm looking at this properly. So give me one sec to pull it up. So when I schedule... So now the schedule reads the 24th at home against Toronto, the 26th at home against the Islanders, the 28th at the Islanders, and the 29th at the Rangers. That's how the last week of the schedule looks for the Capitals now compared to what it was originally when it was released over the summer. So that is the type of stuff that you also have to look into as well, because as they're working around the new schedule, they also moved a lot of teams around. So like just looking at the cap schedule, the last week alone, you know, we have three tough tests in the two tests, three or essentially three games against New York and one against Toronto. And that's from coming back from a Midwest road trip against Colorado, Vegas, and Arizona, which is technically the end of a 5-game road trip, which begins with Toronto and Montreal.
You think that they put too many games in short periods of time?
Well, they had to.
But then what happened was they didn't decide to do the Olympics, and then they
effed up. No, I want to say they effed up. They had to make up for it. But anyways, we are running down to our last like 3 minutes or so. So Ethan, social media, nowhere. Is that right? Is that still nowhere on social media?
I mean, you could try to follow me at Montekia at 219. I'm not going to answer you. Don't DM me because I'm not going to answer it. I mean, I might look, but I'm not going to be there.
But anyways,
just so you know, I mean, you could contact me, but you know what? I'd rather you not. You just tweet us at our Twitter,
which the hockey Twitter is at TXHT Hockey, or at TXHT underscore hockey. You can follow me on Twitter at Athelindebaum75. I will respond to you there. You can follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/txhdhockey. I'm also on Twitch doing the gaming thing whenever I can at twitch.tv/themichaelx75. And of course, everything's over on txhdhockey.com. Feel free to hop on the website. We have dailies that come out every day. We have Devils coverage, Caps coverage, Kraken coverage, Canadians coverage, women's hockey coverage. So again, thanks to Shaggy for coming on earlier to talk about the Isabel Cup playoffs. And once again, congratulations to the Boston Pride for winning their third championship and second back-to-back. So with that, once again, as always, we're Philly with Cool Hockey. Click the link below. They're worth it. Great quality jerseys. I still need to technically write a proper promo for Cool Hockey. I will get to that at some point in time. I just keep making it up as I go along, but Cool Hockey is totally worth it. They just did mystery boxes this past week. They're great. So with that, Ethan, until next time, buddy.
Yep.
We'll see you
next time.
We'll see you.
See you on the flip side.